want to look at what Paul says about looking ahead, the year ahead or looking ahead. What does Paul tell us here in Philippians chapter number 3? The main part of our text is going to be verses 12 to 14. But we're going to read all from the beginning of Philippians chapter number 3, all the way from verse number 1. Paul writes to the church at Philippi and says this, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for your sake, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had yet already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." We're going to examine this morning what Paul tells us about looking ahead, looking ahead. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless the preaching of his word this morning. Dear Father in heaven, Lord, come before you this morning, Lord, and we just ask, Lord, for your blessings upon the preaching of your word. Lord, we ask that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, we ask that you would meet with us in a very real way. We pray, Father, that you would bring encouragement. We pray, Father, that you would bring conviction to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that we would focus, Lord, just for the next few minutes, Lord, on this passage and what it's trying to say to us, Lord. Put aside the cares and concerns of the world, Lord, but focus on here in the now. And I pray, Father, Lord, that you would allow me, Father, to preach in a way that would glorify Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that you'd allow me to preach in a way that would draw people unto him. And Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just over 37 hours from now, we will turn the page on 2018 and we'll start the new year 2019. And I can honestly say to each and every one of you that it is my sincere desire that your 2019 will be even better than your 2018. And there seems to be something unique about the changing of the calendar and the rolling over of the digit at the end of the year that makes us consider the future in a way that maybe, you know, if the calendar says March the 2nd or August the 11th, we don't really think of the future like we do when we get to December 31st and the new year is about to start. And we think about the future and what goals am I going to set and what resolutions am I going to make and all these types of things. And although Paul was not writing to the Philippians in terms of a new year message or a new year passage, he was definitely trying to get them to consider the future. He was trying to get them to consider the future and how they were going to live in that future. That's really what Paul's speaking about here in verses 13 and 14. How are you going to live into the future? And his message to them was that just as my desire is your best, his desire for them was their best. He wanted the best for them. Now, in this passage, Paul gives us a framework for us to consider how we live. And in our context, in the context of the end of 2018, in our context, to consider how we're going to live into 2019. Okay? And Paul gives us a framework to consider this. As we prepare to cross over into 2019, I thought it would be good for us to consider what Paul is trying to teach us here in this passage. Now, Paul teaches in verses 13 and 14. He teaches us that our focus needs to be on the future and living for Christ. That's really the key parts of verses 13 and 14. That our focus needs to be on the future and our focus needs to be on living for Christ. This morning, let's consider three aspects of deciding to live for Christ. Three aspects of deciding to live for Christ. The first thing we see is this. We see that you need to have an honest examination. An honest examination. And Paul makes, in verse number 13, he makes an honest examination of himself. Brethren, he says, I count not myself to have apprehended. I count not myself to have apprehended. We might say it to this. We might say it this way today. I have not arrived. I am not perfect yet. I count not myself to have apprehended. It is an important statement from a man who is possibly the greatest Christian to have ever lived. If you consider the life of the Apostle Paul and all of the things that he did in his life, if anyone could say, I am as mature as a Christian can be, it would be the Apostle Paul. Consider all of the churches he started all over the Eastern Mediterranean. Think of all of the men that he trained for ministry. Timothy and Titus and on and on and on it goes. The list goes of the men that he trained for ministry. Think of all the books of the Bible that he wrote. The New Testament. He wrote nearly half of the New Testament. If you count the book of Hebrews, which I think Paul wrote, it's over half of the New Testament. Think of the fact that he had direct revelation from the Lord when he wrote those books. And if anyone could say that they had arrived, that they had apprehended, it would be Paul. But look what he says back in verse number 12. This is the key to understanding what Paul's talking about here. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Okay, so he says there, I'm not perfect, okay? But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. That I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended. Now, to me, this phrasing is a little bit confusing. It's almost like you're a circular reasoning. You're running yourself in circles. I don't consider that I have apprehended that for which I am also apprehended. What is Paul talking about yet? Or Paul talking about here? Why was Paul apprehended? What he's saying is, I was apprehended by Christ for a reason, and I have not apprehended it yet. I was apprehended by him for a reason, and I have not apprehended that yet. Why was he apprehended? Why were you and I apprehended by Christ? Why did Christ one day stop us in whatever life we were living, and the Holy Spirit convict us of sin, and we come in repentance and faith and be saved? Why did that happen to us? Why did that happen to Paul? Go in your Bibles to Romans chapter number 8. And you see very clearly why it happened. Romans chapter number 8. Verse number 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among the brethren. For whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Why was the Apostle Paul apprehended? Why were you and I apprehended? We were apprehended. The ultimate outcome of our salvation is that we would be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate goal here. That's what we're working towards. You were not apprehended. I was not apprehended. The primary reason that we were saved was not just so that we would have a cushy life forever in heaven. That's not the ultimate goal here. That's not the real fundamental issue here. The reason that God saved you and the reason God saved me and the reason God saves everyone is to conform them to the image of his son, to transform them to be more like Jesus Christ. That is the purpose of our salvation. And so when Paul says, I've not yet apprehended that for which I was apprehended of Jesus Christ, Paul's saying, look, I was saved so that I could become more like Christ, and I'm not there yet. I've not apprehended it. I've not attained that yet. I'm getting there. I'm becoming more like Christ, but I've not reached the pinnacle yet. I'm not completely like Jesus yet. That's what Paul is trying to tell us here. And Paul tells us back in our text in Philippians chapter 3, he says this, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Now, I've already said to you, you know, of anyone who would be able to say, I think I'm about as good a Christian as a person could be, it would be the Apostle Paul. If anyone could say that, it would be Paul. But instead, what do you find Paul saying? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, Paul says this, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Instead of saying, I think I'm probably about as good a Christian as you could get, Paul says, no, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the worst sinner there is. I'm not at the top of the heap of the Christians. I'm at the top of the heap of the sinners, Paul says. As we finish off 2018, it would be good if we followed in Paul's footsteps and made an honest examination of our own lives. And Paul made an honest examination of his life here in verse 13, and he says this, brethren, I count not myself to apprehended. I have not arrived. I'm not as good. I'm not as Christ-like as I could be. And just as Paul realized that he was not yet perfect, you and I, we need to realize that we are not yet perfect. And just as Paul realized there was more work that needed to be done in his life, we need to realize there's more work that needs to be done in our lives. It's important that you and I, that we don't think of ourselves more highly than we ought. I think of the churches in the book of Revelation. I think especially of the church of Laodicea. He says this. Jesus says this to them. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. They said, we are rich. We have everything we want. And we don't need anything. And Jesus says, this is the real assessment of your life. You know not that you're poor, that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They thought of themselves more highly. They thought more highly of themselves than they ought to. They overestimated their spirituality. They overestimated their importance. And it's important for us that we not think too highly of ourselves. We not think that we're more mature than we really are. But it's also true and important that we should not underestimate our worth in God's eyes. I'm just worthless. God can't do anything with me. I can't do anything for the Lord. I'm just a failure. Just as we should not overestimate ourselves, neither should we underestimate ourselves. We need to take an honest look at our lives and assess the areas that we need to change and we need to improve. And one of the keys, it's what Paul tells us here in verse number 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. If you're going to make an honest assessment of your life, an honest assessment of where you are spiritually, you're going to have to forget some things that are behind. You're going to have to forget some things that are in your past. When we examine where we are in our spiritual maturity, it's important, first of all, that we not be dragged down by our past. That we not be dragged down by our past. Maybe you had a difficult 2018. I don't know all the ins and outs of everyone's life in the room. But maybe you had a difficult 2018. Maybe it's spiritually I'm speaking of here, not materially or not personally. Maybe you backslid in a few areas. Maybe I said at the beginning of the year, you know, make sure, get one of these Bible reading schedules and read through your Bible in the year. And you went to the back table and you picked up one and you haven't touched it since. Maybe you struggled in the area of Bible reading. Maybe you struggled in the area of prayer. Maybe you struggled in the area of giving or whatever it may be. Maybe there were outside influences in your life. Maybe there were some people in your life, some friends that you have, some co-workers, some friends at school, whatever it is, that they were not a good influence on you in your spiritual walk in 2018. Paul says we need to recognize them and we need to do better. Paul says we need to forget those things which are behind. Paul says, look at what Paul says back in the beginning of chapter 3, verse number 6. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Paul said, I was as zealous of a Jew, as a Jew as you could get. I was as zealous a Jew as you could get. I was so zealous that I persecuted the church. You know, some scholars believe that Paul murdered as many as 2,000 Christians before he was converted. Paul said, I was so zealous, I persecuted the church. Don't you think that Paul had to put that aside and forget about that? How easy would it have been for Paul to say, God can never use me. I can't do anything for the Lord. When he knows what he did to people in the church. Paul says we need to put these things aside. Don't let them define us. Don't let them drag us down as we look forward to what we can be for Christ in the future. But maybe that's not you. Maybe you didn't have a rough 2018. Maybe you had a good 2018. Maybe you were faithful in 2018. You came to every church service you could come to. You didn't just, you know, lie in bed on Sunday morning and take it easy. You came to every church service you could come to. You finished your Bible reading for the year. You were faithful in prayer. You grew spiritually, and you know that over the last year that you've grown spiritually. You're able to share the gospel with people. And maybe even in 2018, you saw somebody trust the Lord as their Savior. You saw someone come to the Lord. Well, Paul's advice to you is the same. Forget your past. Forget your past. You can't go through the Christian life resting on your laurels. You can't skate through the Christian life trying to rely on previous accomplishments. Paul says, look, forgetting those things which are behind. Look what Paul says about his accomplishments. Paul talks about all the things that he did right as a Jew at the beginning of chapter number 3. He was circumcised. He was of the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a Pharisee. He was blameless in the law. But look what he says. At the end of verse 8, he says, I do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. No matter what good accomplishments I had, they're nothing in compared to living for Jesus. They're nothing in comparison to living for the Lord. Churches are full of people who are spiritual cripples. They're full of people. There are people in churches everywhere who are spiritual cripples, not growing for the Lord. And some of them are maimed by past mistakes, and they cannot get over it. It's like they're dragging a dead body around with them all the time. There's always something that they did in their past that they're ashamed of, and they just will not let it go. Paul says, forget about it. Live for the Lord now. There's other people in churches who they're on spiritual life support. They're trying to live off of past victories. They're trying to live off of, the Old Testament example would be, they're trying to live off of the yesterday's manna. They're trying to live off of the past victories. And it's not enough to sustain you for today. Paul says, forget those things. We need to put those things behind and do our best to live for Christ today. He said, forgetting those things which are behind. So first we see an honest examination. Realize that we have not arrived yet, and there are some things we need to put aside and stop worrying about. But then he says this, we need to have the strongest exertion. The strongest exertion. What does he say in verse number 13? Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark. Reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark. Paul was saying we need to make the strongest exertion possible in the pursuit of becoming more like Christ. We need to try as hard as we can. We need to make the strongest exertion that we can make in order to be more like Jesus Christ. The idea here is that we need to be focused. We need to have focus in the Christian life. We need to have some focus. What does he say? Verse number 13. But these 50 things I do. No. He says, this one thing I do. He doesn't even say these two or three things I focus on. You know, I have two or three things that I'm focused on in my life. No, he says, this one thing I do. Paul says, my number one priority in life is to become more like Jesus Christ. That is my number one priority. This one thing I do in every area of my life, whether it's being a parent, whether it's being a husband or a wife, whether it's being an employee, whether it's being an employer, whatever it is, in every area of my life, I have one focus, and that is to become more like Jesus and to reflect Jesus more to the people around me. That is the one thing that I'm focused on. Paul says, this one thing I do. He uses this phrase in verse number 13, reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now the phrase reaching forth is used to describe his efforts. It's a phrase that comes from athletics. Specifically, it comes from racing, sprinting in the foot race. And it's that point at the end of the race, and you see it every time you watch the Olympics or every time you watch track and field. You see, they come to the end of the race, and what do? They all lunge forward as far as they can. They stick their necks out there. They push with their shoulders and their arms to try to get the last little inch, the last little advantage on the other people in the race with them. And that's the picture here. They're reaching forth. Paul says, I am straining and I'm giving it my utmost effort to be like Jesus Christ, to do whatever I can to become more like Christ. It's giving my all. And then he says in verse number 14, I press toward the mark. Now, reaching forth was a phrase from athletics. Pressing is a phrase from hunting. It's to eagerly pursue a quarry. It's an intense endeavor, an eager pursuit, just staying after it. Wherever your quarry is running, you're chasing it down. And so Paul says, look, you need to have the strongest exertion. You need to do whatever you can do to become more like Jesus. You need to, a modern day athletics analogy would be when they say, you got to leave it all on the field. Do everything you can do. Leave all your efforts out there on the field. Don't come back into the locker room saying, yeah, I think I could play, you know, another 30 minutes today. No, leave it all out there on the field. Paul says, In our pursuit of becoming more like Jesus, we must have the strongest exertion. But what does he say in verse 13? Not only does he say reaching forth, but he says this, reaching forth unto those things which are before. Before. The Christian life is a life that is about the future, not the past. The Christian life is a life that is about the future and not the past. As I've already talked about, the Christian life is not about being dragged down by my previous defeats. The Christian life is not about trying to live off of my previous victories. The Christian life is a life of the present and the future. Being all that I can be right now for Jesus Christ. And carrying that on into the future. That's what the Christian life is all about. Being what I can be for Christ now and into the future. Making adjustments in my life. Growing so that I can be more like Christ. The image here is that we have to stretch ourselves to the limit of what lies in front of us. Stretching ourselves to the limit. Paul says, he says in verse number 14, I press toward the mark. Another racing term, another athletic term. When a runner runs, what do? They pick out a point and they run at that point. You're focused on that mark. That's what you're running. You're not focused on 50 marks in front of you because then you're just zigzagging all over the race course. You're focused on the mark. And what was the mark that Paul was focused on? The mark that Paul was focused on was Jesus Christ, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So we see that Paul says, look, first, I need to be honest. I need to have an honest examination. I'm not what I should be. I'm not what I could be. I'm not maybe where I ought to be. And be honest about it. But then Paul says, look, then we need to focus. And we need to have a strong exertion to try to be what we should be. We need to give it our all. And then what does he say at the end? He says there's an earnest expectation. There's an earnest expectation. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says there's a prize at the finish line. There's a prize at the finish line. We're not just racing for the sake of racing. We're not just running for the sake of running. You're not just like me, you're running for the sake of trying to get healthy and lose some weight. No, you're running to try to gain a prize. There's something at the finish line waiting for you. As we've already seen, God's plan for the life of every believer is to be conformed to the image of Christ. This is the prize of the high calling that Paul is speaking about here. That one day he would be just like Jesus. That's the prize. That's the prize that you should be striving for. That's the prize that I should be striving for. Is that one day we're going to be more like Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is looking for. Go to Philippians chapter 1. You might say, well, Pastor Ryan, I've been saved for a long time and I don't feel like very much like Jesus. I don't know that it's really happening for me. What does Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 say? Paul writes to the church at Philippi and says this, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. The day that you asked Jesus to be your Savior, the day that you became a Christian, God began a work in you. And that work is the conforming work of changing you into the image of Jesus. And until you go to heaven, or until Jesus comes back, he's going to be working in you. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. He's not going to give up on you. He's not going to give up on you and say, well, you know, that guy, he was doing okay, but then he fell out and I'm just done with him. No. He's going to continue to perform it in you. He's going to continue to work it in you. And whether you can see the change or not, or whether you recognize the change or not, the change is taking place. God is working in your life. He's going to keep working on you until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul was not speaking here of a prize that he may or may not win either. Paul wasn't speaking here of a prize where if I run really fast and if I put forth maximum effort, I can beat the guy beside me and I can win the prize. This isn't a, I don't know how many of us are in here, 25 of us. This isn't a competition amongst the 25 of us. And we're all trying to see who's going to be the best and who's going to win the prize. This is a prize that's available to everyone. This is a prize that we all are going to obtain. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Every one of us can earnestly look forward to and expect to receive the prize. But we still need to put forth our maximum effort to try to attain it. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. The very end of his life, Paul writes and says this, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now, when Paul wrote Philippians, he was in prison as well. Imagine writing this, writing what he wrote in Philippians about becoming more like Jesus and giving it all while you're sitting in a prison cell. But here in 2 Timothy, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Paul says, because I fought a good fight, because I kept the faith, and because I beat everybody else, there's a crown of righteousness waiting for me. No, that's not what he says. Because look at the rest of verse number 8. And not to me only, but to all them also that love is appearing. We're not competing against one another. We're not trying to outdo, I'm more like Christ than Brother Al is like Christ. Or Brother Al is more like Christ than Brother Christian is like Christ. No, that's not the competition here. The competition is against yourself. The competition is against your pride. The competition is against your flesh. He says, look, this crown, this prize, it's available to everyone. Okay? But unto all them also that love is appearing. Every person who's born again gets the prize. Until then, it's our responsibility to press toward the mark. It's our responsibility to chase after the prize, to give it our maximum effort. It's our job to run toward the goal with everything we have, not turning to the right, not turning to the left, not being distracted by those things that are in our past, whether they're good or whether they're bad. It's our job to press toward the mark. If we want to hear that wonderful phrase, well done, thou good and faithful servant, when we are given our prize, we need to be striving for the mark. Paul teaches us here that our focus needs to be on the future and on living for Christ. That's what he's talking to them about here in verse number 13 and 14. I'm not living for my past victories. I'm not living for the fact that I was a Pharisee. I'm not living for the fact that I was Hebrew of the Hebrews. I'm living for Jesus Christ. And I'm not distracted by all this other stuff going on around me. This one thing I do. Paul says we need to be focused on the future. I press toward the mark. I'm going forward, reaching forth unto those things which are before. We need to be focused on the future and on living for Christ. Though we're getting ready to start a new year this week, it's a good time to examine our lives. But that doesn't mean we only do it once a year. This isn't something that, you know, every year, the last week of December, I should sit down and examine whether I'm becoming more like Jesus. No, this is something that you should do on a regular basis. This is something that you should do probably on a weekly or maybe even a daily basis. Am I focused like I should be? Am I becoming more like Jesus Christ? It's not something that you should only do once a year. The decision to strive to become more like Christ and to press toward the mark is one that we should make day by day and hour by hour. As we consider what Paul has said this morning, he made this honest examination. I want you to think about your own life for a minute. As you sit for your examination, what kind of grade would you get? Are you going to get a, if you, as you sit for your examination this morning, your self-assessment, are you going to get a big P on your paper? Or are you going to get a big F? Are you going to pass or are you going to fail as you sit for your examination? Can you say with Paul, this one thing I do? Can I say with Paul, this one thing I do? I am focused on one thing. Or would you, probably like me, have to confess to being not very focused? I'm just kind of all over the place. I'm not really focused as I should be. Could you say like Paul, I reach forth, I press toward the mark? Or would you say, man, I'm just kind of strolling toward the finish line. I'm not pressing toward the mark. I'm just out on a leisurely, you know, Sunday afternoon walk. Maybe you need to follow Paul's example and put everything else aside and focus solely on Jesus and being more like him. As we get ready to close out 2018, I think each of us needs to make this self-examination and be honest about it. Whether not that you got to go, you got to call me up and say, okay, pastor, I got these areas I need to work on and I'm falling off. No, you don't need to call me. You don't need to even talk to anybody. You can talk to your spouse if you want to talk to your spouse. But you just need to honestly examine yourself and say, am I where I should be? Paul says, number one, we need an honest examination. Number two, he says, we need the strongest exertion. And number three, he says, at the end of the finish line, there's an earnest expectation. There's a prize waiting for me, and I look forward to attaining that prize. Let's go to the Lord and ask him to bless our time together this morning. Dear Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for the example of the Apostle Paul. We thank you, Father, that in all his years, he never stopped striving for the mark. He never stopped reaching forth unto those things which are before. Lord, we thank you that he was steadfast in his belief and steadfast in his work. And I pray, Father, that you would help us this morning as we examine our own hearts and examine our own lives, Lord. Help us to have an honest assessment, Lord, of where we are.